This morning I was born in a yurt at the edge of a horse plain in a land of a planet which no longer exists. Tomorrow I will be born someone else in another place. I have not yet chosen. This morning, though, ah, this life. When my eyes had learned to focus, I looked out at sunshine on trampled grass, and I saw vigorous people going about the sweet activities of their lives. Where, oh, where has all of that vigor gone? The Stolen Journals.
The three people running northward through moon shadows in the forbidden forest were strung out along almost half a kilometer. The last runner in the line ran less than 100 meters ahead of the pursuing D-wolves. The animals could be heard, yelping and panting in their eagerness, the way they do when they have the prey in sight. With first moon almost directly overhead, it was quite light in the forest, and although these were the higher latitudes of Arrakis, it was still warm from the heat of a summer day. The nightly drift of air from the last desert of the Sarir carried resin smells and the deep exhalations of the duff underfoot. Now and again, a breeze from the Kynes Sea beyond the Sarir drifted across the runners' tracks with hints of salt and fishes. By a quirk of fate, the last runner was called Ulot, which in the Fremen tongue means beloved straggler. Ulot was short in stature, and with a tendency to fat, which had placed an extra dieting burden on him in training for this venture. Even when slimmed down for their desperate run, his face remained round, the large brown eyes vulnerable in that suggestion of too much flesh. To Ulot it was obvious that he could not run much farther. He panted and wheezed. Occasionally he staggered. But he did not call out to his companions. He knew they could not help him. All of them had taken the same oath, knowing they had no defences except the old virtues and Fremen loyalties. This remained true, even though everything that once had been Fremen had now a museum quality, rote recitals learned from museum Fremen. It was Fremen loyalty that kept Ulot silent in the full awareness of his doom. A fine display of the ancient qualities, and rather pitiful when none of the runners had any but book knowledge and the legends of the oral history about the virtues they aped. The D-wolves ran close behind Ulot, giant, grey figures, almost man-height at the shoulders. They leaped and whined in their eagerness, heads lifted, eyes focused on the moon-betrayed figure of their quarry. A root caught Ulot's left foot and he almost fell. This gave him renewed energy. He put on a burst of speed, gaining perhaps a wolf length on his pursuers, his arms pumped. He breathed noisily through his open mouth. The D-wolves did not change pace. They were silver shadows which went flick, flick through the loud green smells of their forest. They knew they had won. It was a familiar experience. Again, Ulot stumbled. He caught his balance against a sapling and continued his panting flight, gasping, his legs trembling in rebellion against these demands. No energy remained for another burst of speed. One of the D-wolves, a large female, moved out on Ulot's left flank. She swerved inward and leaped across his path. Giant fangs ripped Ulot's shoulder and staggered him, but he did not fall. The pungency of blood was added to the forest smells. A smaller male caught his right hip. And at last Ulot fell, screaming. The pack pounced, and his screams were cut off in abrupt finality.
Thank you for listening to this clip provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.